Back in the Old Testament, we read the story of when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem. And King David was so excited because the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. Hopefully we're as excited to be here today. But this is what David said. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Hang on to your hats, folks, because that's where we're going to be in a few minutes. Tell all of his wondrous works. Give glory to his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. So as we gather together today, we've got an opportunity to worship God, to come into his presence. And before we actually get into the singing part, we're going to spend a little time just returning prayers of thanksgiving back to him. You can join in if you like. I'm going to start us off. Let's bow our heads. Father God, this is such a good place to be, to come together as a body, as individuals coming together to form a whole group of people that have one objective here today, to meet with you. Thank you that you're meeting with us. Thank you, God.
Father, I really thank you for the family that you bring us into, Lord. Relationships, the kindness, the encouragement that you give us through one another, Father. We give you thanks for that.
Father, we honor and exalt you, God, with the love that this church expels towards one another. I thank you for your great love that reigns in our hearts. And I just ask that we are attentive in giving you glory and honor that you deserve. Ask that you would protect our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, and our characters as we worship you this morning.
Father God, we just thank you for your presence here among us, Lord. We just pray for just an opportunity just to hear from you through your word and by your spirit, Lord God. Just speak to us today, Lord God. We thank you that we're not alone in meeting with you today here, Lord. There are many other churches meeting in Alliance, Lord. We pray for them. We pray for a confident word to be spoken at each place from your word, Lord. We pray that people would enter in and worship you and determine to follow you. We pray for a revival to take place in this community, Lord God. We just pray that all the churches in this town would just be filled to the brim, Lord God, and that your word would be spoken forth at each and every one of them, Lord. Father God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted for their faith, Lord God. Lord, we just pray for your presence to be among them, that they could stand firm in their faith and not waver because of persecution. Father God, we just thank you for an opportunity to be here corporately, in public, Lord God, without fear. And Lord, we pray that the freedoms that we have in worship would be maintained. We pray for the government leaders, Lord God, that they would make decisions based on your word and not the whims of men, Lord God. We pray for this election cycle, Lord, that you would put your men and women in office to represent us and to make the decisions for this nation, Lord God. Lord, again, we thank you for just an opportunity to meet with you, Lord. We just pray you bless this service to us, Lord. We just pray for just an insight from you, Lord God, that everyone here would just receive something from you that they could walk away with and say, I've been touched by God today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, you guys ready to worship? Let's do it. Let's be excited too, man. We're going in God's presence. in the morning. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Comforter.
Counselor, Comforter,
Father.
Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your love, here in our weakness you find us, calling before your throne. Oh, we're calling before your
throne. You are.
Going to read all the scriptures like I did last week, but I would like to comment in 1 Corinthians 12. The Bible tells us he wants us to be knowing and understanding of spiritual gifts, and they're for the church today. And also in Romans 12, it does the same thing. And some of the gifts that are listed are verbal gifts, prophecy, where the Spirit of God will minister to an individual to bear his heart to the congregation. Sometimes it's a tongue with an interpretation. Sometimes it's an exhortation. A word of encouragement. Today we have a prophecy, so please give ear to this.
This Spirit of the Lord will speak and say, my love is incomprehensible. It comes in ways of abundant compassion at times, or it comes as a swift hand of correction. There are times of trial. My children, my ways are not your ways. Even the highest of your minds and height, can you not understand my ways? I speak to you about them because at times you're confused. But I am here and my love does not change. I can continue to call you to come to me and keep your eyes upon me because I am your object of worship. I am your object of praise. Your breath is my praise. Continue to turn to me as I call you, my children. Know that I love you, and you cannot comprehend the depths of my love. Continue to call upon me, for I am your God, says the Lord. And I have brought you out of the bondage of sin, and I have freed you and redeemed you. Renew your mind and continue to come to me, for I am your God, says the Lord. Not your thoughts of your heart, but the words of my Spirit, says the Lord. Let them be your meditation. Be changed and reformed.
That's good.
Thank you.
sacrifice, keeper of this life. Hallelujah, you are Savior, beginning and the end, forgiver of my sin. By your mercy, you have saved us. Jesus, you are stronger.
have a prophecy from the Lord. The Spirit of Jesus Christ will speak and say, I am the Spirit of prophecy. I have given you a sure word of prophecy in my word. I am he who is above heavens, the heavens and the earth. For heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. I am he who is dead, and behold, I am alive again. I hold up the universe with the breath of my might. There is none like me. I am worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. My children, I speak to you and I say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. For look to my word and the examples. For as Moses, I called him upon the mountain when I descended as fire. The mountain shook like no mountain had ever shaken before. I did it to test my children so that they would know how holy and true and pure I am, so that they would walk in the proper fear of the Lord. I love you, and I call you my friend, and you are my friend, and you are my children. My love is incomprehensible. However, I call you to fear me properly, for it will keep you from sinning. I call you to store my word in your heart, for it will keep you from sinning. I call you to listen and obey my spirit and my word, because I love you. And riches and honor and life are stored up for those who have a proper fear of the Lord. Do not hide from me in your sin. Rather, come to me, for I am the only one who can deliver you. I am the only one who can lift you up. I call you to study my ways. Study who the Lord your God is. For as you learn of me and my ways, you will get a proper perspective of who I am and who you are. I love you, my children. Go in peace.
The Lord really put this on my heart, and this goes right along with the prophecy that was just spoke. And, you know, he is worthy of all our praises, and I feel like the Lord just, he wants me to stand up here and tell you, there's a few people here who doesn't quite know the Lord. You know, you might think you know the Lord, you know, you're sitting there and you're not getting into worship. You know, that is such an important thing. You know, we need to give God the glory that he deserves. And amazing, amazing things can happen when you're in worship. You know, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I don't understand what all this is about. This just doesn't make sense. What are all these people doing? You know, trust me, if you just give God the chance that he deserves and just give him worship and ask him into your life, you know, he's going to do amazing things.
Andrew's got a good heart. I really believe he heard from the Lord about letting you know how much worship and desire the Lord has for you to praise him. I know you can just be, you may be saved and just very quietly worshiping him, and that's fine. You don't have to always raise your hands. You don't always have to shout. I'm a shouter. I'm a yeller, a waver. When we're at home praying, my wife, I can hardly hear her whisper, and she's quiet. I know she worships the Lord. And I just want to bring some verification that you don't have to. You know, if you're one that's sitting there being very quiet, worshiping the Lord, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. So that's why I'm speaking this. And if you don't know the Lord, that's okay. The Spirit of God will continually deal with your heart, and he'll bring you into a place of knowing him. And it's really different. Until you have an encounter with the Lord, there's really not a reason to worship him, and I know that. And so maybe if that's where you're at, you haven't had an encounter with the Lord yet, you haven't given your life to him, that's probably to come. And at that time, your worship will change. There'll be a desire in your heart. But it was a good word, the Lord trying to encourage us to come before him. We have a tongue, so I wish you'd give attention to this to see if the Lord's going to be using you to bring the interpretation.
Hatabo hore mahini ala hore moko soto rebishiti di ala hala mo hore mata tokor mahari bidoshi dimi gatokor matatala.
you know that I've told you that I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'd rather you be hot or cold. And I tell you why. Being lukewarm is miserable for your sake. You cannot have the joy of the Holy Spirit, nor can you have the ignorance of the world. You are in limbo. You are miserable. You are in a miserable, miserable place if you are lukewarm. And so I exhort you to give up these things that are give up these things that are hindering you from being sold out. Surrender all to me. For I desire all of your heart, not just part, not just certain days of the week, not just certain times of your day, but I desire all of you all the time.
I'm giving an exhortation. Laura is giving me an exhortation that goes along with that. When the Lord created the heavens and the earth, he was not at all surprised that we would sin. And so you've heard it said that love is a choice. Jesus made a choice when he created this world that at one point in time he would come and he would die for us, pouring out his blood to save us. He desires that we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if we don't do that, we can't follow any of the other commandments at all. It starts with love. I want you to look at, because what we love, we end up spending our most time on, or we spend most of our money on those things that we really, really love. I want us to take a look at that, because you know what? Loving God is a choice. Oh, and feelings come with it, absolutely. But first of all, we need to choose to love the Lord Jesus with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that means putting aside some things that we're putting before him.
I just wanted to clarify something. When I was, whenever we prophesy or interpret tongues, sometimes we can put our own human words into it. And I mentioned the word limbo in my prophecy. And we don't believe in that sort of thing around here. I just wanted to clarify that.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory.
Be strong in purpose, in peace.
guys can see.
But I have an exhortation from the Lord, and this week I was reading in Jeremiah, and there's a verse I feel is probably one of the saddest verses I've ever read, where there, someone, Jeremiah is telling the Israelites about how God feels about them, that to them, God is no more than someone who sings beautiful love songs and can play an instrument well, but they do not hear his words or put them into practice. And I pray, I believe God wants us to be obedient to him and do what his word says and put him first in our lives. And by doing that, he will transform our lives into the beautiful piece of music that he wishes to show the world about our lives and how Jesus works in our lives.
I was in devotionals this week, and the Lord told me I sought you out in the quiet. My breath is like a baby's breath, like pure milk.
You'd have to be deaf or blind not to see what the Lord's doing with us. He's just wooing ourselves to him. He's pulling us to himself. That's what he's doing. Isn't that incredible? I mean, he's God of the universe. He's mighty. He's accountable to nobody. And he humbles himself to almost beg us and woo us to come to him. I love knowing that I have a God that's bigger than me, mightier than me, wiser, just tremendous. And that's who you're submitting to. And with all this power and all this majesty, he's wooing you, saying, come on, come to me, I love you. Come to me, I want you to serve me. Come and keep my word and see what it'll produce in your life. Come to me and do this. Oh, that's incredible. Jerry has an exhortation for us concerning marriages. So give him an ear.
I want to say first, this is not easy. I was in my quiet time recently, and when I'm feeling like that, I ask the Lord, I want you to talk to me tonight. I want you to get close to me. Tell me what you want to say, not just what I want to read out of your word. Bill reads a lot out of 1 Corinthians concerning the gifts. So I started with 2 Corinthians. I wanted to see what the second letter was about. And I started reading out of that and was very encouraged. But he stopped me at a verse. He stopped me at a verse which we've mentioned here before. But it was like he highlighted it. He wanted me to pay attention to this. And he said, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And he says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And so I started wondering, why did he push me to this? And again, in my mind's eye, he highlighted the yoked together. You can be friends with unbelievers. You can have business acquaintances with unbelievers. We are supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. But the yoked together meant something. Yoked, he also gave me a vision of what it means when you have two oxen together and you put a yoke on them, they become one. Those two oxen are now one, doing the power of two. And so I'm still going, Lord, I understand this, that we are not to either be engaged, date, unbelievers. I understand what that means by yoked, but I still wondered, you know, where is this leading to? And he took me out of 2 Corinthians back to 1 Corinthians, back to the love chapter. But I didn't start in the love chapter. He led me to the chapter 7, where it's on marriage. And so I started reading on this, trying to put together about not being yoked together, and then about being married. And I started reading, and it's talking about those that are married, those that are not married, and those in between. But then he stopped me at verse 12. This is on chapter 7, verse 12. And he says, this is Paul writing, "To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord." And right away I go, wait a minute, I, not the Lord. Why? What does this mean? And so I'm just praying about what does that mean? And what Paul is saying is, this is not a word directly from the Lord, but it is from the authority given to Paul as being an apostle and given under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So it is given by God. It goes on and says, "If any brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with you or with him, he must not divorce her. If a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy." And I'm going, wow, you're going to have to help me with this. And the best way that I have when at times like this is just to be quiet and listen. And what he's saying is that Kathy and I were in this position at one time where I was a believer and she wasn't. So I started to understand a little bit more. The scripture says that the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Doesn't mean that the unbeliever has been saved through the saved person. What he's saying here is, when there's an unbeliever as one of the spouses, and the unbeliever doesn't want to leave, then the believing spouse does not send away the unbeliever, whether a separation or divorce, just because of what I read in 2 Corinthians about not being yoked together. The Lord's telling us to... Let me back up a little bit where he talks about being sanctified. The Lord is looking at this household, and I'm looking now back. I didn't have the knowledge that I do now. When I came to the Lord, the Lord looked down at our home as holy. We had two little girls. Jason was just about on the way. But God looked down at our house as being a holy house, holy family, because of the believer. And so what the Lord's saying is, if there's an unbeliever in the house, don't throw that unbeliever away. Keep that unbeliever. Love that unbeliever. And love him into the kingdom. And so I started reading, wait a minute, love. So then he led me over to the love chapter. I mean, Lord was really talking to me now, and I'm going, wow, keep going, you know? So he brought me over to the love chapter, chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And it was like, boom, hit me right in the face, perseveres. We have to persevere in our marriages. We can't give up just because one of them may be an unbeliever or whatever the case may be. But if you love that other spouse, persevere, continue loving them. And that's all that the Lord gave me at that time.
That's enough. That's good, Jerry. I imagine we could probably line up a long line of marriages where one spouse was saved and one wasn't. And a lot of good testimonies would come out of that. If you're sitting here and you're married to an unbeliever, you need to take that word to heart. Real, real good word of encouragement for you. So.
All right, let's do one more song. It's an oldie but a goodie. I haven't done this in a long time. Lord Reign in Me. So we'll see how it goes.
Request.
just thank you so much. Just your wonderful love, Father, that you would come down and die on the cross for us and endure all that pain and suffering because you knew what was going to be, what would come from that, Father, that you knew that we would be able to have a relationship with you, and that meant something to you. And I am just so thankful that you loved us that much, that you gave your life on the cross for us. So, Father, I just ask that you would reign in my life, Father, in all of our lives, Father. Help us just to set you on that throne. Help us to take down our own lives, Father, because so many of us, Father, and me included, our lives revolve around me, revolve around us. But, Father, help us to change that, to place you on that throne so that our lives revolve around you, so that we live every second of every day for you. And Father, I thank you so much for all that you do for us. In your name, amen. All right, you guys may be seated.
Morning.
Morning.
Welcome, Lions Christian Center. If you can take those black books down the center and record your visit with us, grab some announcements out of there. There's the bulletin bookmark that has all the information there for things going on this week. If you have a testimony, we'll take two or three testimonies this morning. Come on down front here while I'm doing the announcements, and we'll give you an opportunity to share those things. Please remember to be praying for our group down in Guatemala this week. Kirk is down there, and the Hostetler family, and Kurt and Diane. Who else is down there?
Hannah.
Jim May? And Hannah. That's right, Hannah. Yeah, Hannah Larson. She's becoming like another Hostetler there. Anyway, just kind of grouped her in that. So, yeah, be praying for them, that God just is with them, strengthen them, give them success in their work down there and in their outreach to people down there. They'd be encouraging the pastor that we support down there, whose name escapes me, Hector. Thank you. So a lot of good things going on there. We're still looking for a handyman to help out with a small job repairing a flashing on a bay window for a single woman here in our congregation. It looks like a quick fix, so please see April for more information on that. Coming up on February 7th, ladies, there's going to be the Secret Sister annual reveal. So that's going to be February 7th after the morning service. Information forms on the bulletin board. So if you want to join in or find out about the program for next year. And all ladies are welcome. So even if you didn't participate, you're welcome to come out to the dinner. Enjoy that. This Friday is the March for Life. And we've got a pretty good sized group of people from our congregation going down there. Remember, you need to be at the First Friends Church by 11 p.m. on Thursday night. So they're not going to send out reminders or anything. You need to remind yourself. So please do that. Also, if you maybe were thinking about going but weren't sure if you could, you still can. There is still a few seats available. You can talk to Phil Dudek by Wednesday if you would like to do that. So that's still an opportunity for you there. All right. Who's first?
A few years ago, we were over at Deb Larson's house. And Brian's a mailman, by the way. So we were over there, and he's like, this is like the ideal route for any mailman, because it's just house to house, it's flat. But he, you know, in order to get it, it'll probably like 10 years because he's so low on the seniority list. Well, a few months ago, he's works in a really bad part of Canton, and he just said it's just not safe anymore to be over there for really anybody. So we just started praying. It's like, okay, if God wants him there to be a light, he should stay where he's at. But if God has something else for him, so all these routes would start opening up every so many weeks, and we'd pray, and he wouldn't get them. And then he got one a couple weeks ago, and they made an error in the paperwork, so it got taken from him. So he texted me, or so a few days ago, this route, the dream route that's unattainable, opens up. And he's like, why not? Bid on it. It's the one he wants. Well, so a few days go by, and I had my hopes up so many times with other routes, and it didn't work out, so I didn't really pray. And then the day before, I thought, you know what? I've seen the power of prayer lately. I'm going to ask God to give us that route if it's as well. I'm going to say, Lord, it's Brian's desire. He loves that route. It'd be a good, you know, route for him. if you want him to have it, I'm asking you to give it to him. And he texted me the next day, and he got it. So, you know, when the Bible says he does more than we can ask, think, or imagine, he really does more than we can ask, think, or imagine. So.
Kind of goes along with that. The same thing happened to us. About a month ago, there was a word that was given to give God glory where glory is due. And many of you know we are looking for a house for a long time. And we found one, and we're all moved in. And I just want to give God glory. There were so many things that had to happen. I think the guidelines for buying a house has gotten more strict. So it was, seems like there was so much paperwork to, you know, to do. I probably signed my name 200 times. But I believe this is where God has us. Everything just kind of fell into place. All the tears and heartache is over. But it's through this, you know, I really knew, you know, there was a place for us. And, you know, at times I, you know, wanted to give up, but God just carried us through, and he's so good.
Mine also goes along with all of that. About a week ago, I was sitting talking to Luke, and I'm like, you know, I should probably look for a job again. And I was telling him, you know, ever since I started looking for a job, like, I have never had issues finding one. Like, first I worked at Dairy Queen, and it was like a week between the time I applied and the time I got that job. And then when that was all over, I decided to go dress up one day and go pick up applications and stuff. Well, before I did all that, I went and got my hair cut, and I was going to go straight from there to pick up applications. While I was getting my hair cut, somebody called me and said, hey, I have a job for you. Then I was a nanny for that family that had called me for a long time, and then they went on vacation. Well, they went on like a 3-month trip out west during the winter, and I was like, well, I have no job or source of income right now while they're gone. She called me while they were gone and said, hey, can I pay you to tutor my kids over the phone? So that happened. Yeah. So that happened for a while. And then they came back and I tutored them in person. And then now they moved. And I got a job at Maze Valley working on a farm. And that, like, the day after I was interviewed, I got called and got the job. It's been so easy. And then that was when I was talking to Luke and saying, like, I have never had issues with this. Like, as soon as I start to think maybe I should do something, God's like, I already did that for you. And so I was just telling Luke, like, how awesome God is and stuff with all of that. But I still didn't have a job. And I was like, well, maybe I should find one. The next day, my old boss called me again and said, can I pay you to tutor my kids over the phone? And also, maybe once a month you could go to my dad's house and clean for him. And so I just want to encourage you guys, like, God is so good. And when you glorify him, he will give you another reason to glorify him. So.
That's good.
I was going to share this last week, and then I didn't get a chance to, so sorry messing up your 2 or 3 number. So the lady that got my kidney, her name is Connie, and found out New Year's Eve she went to her doctor to, like, you know, get a checkup and everything. And over the past couple months, she was hospitalized twice because, well, first they couldn't figure out what it was. She kept getting fevers. She was admitted to the hospital, and she had a bladder infection, and her kidney function dropped to 2%. And the doctor told her, you might maybe get to 60% again because is bad. So they put her on antibiotics, and she just continued to pray and continued to ask for prayer. And I know there were a lot of people praying for her. So she went back to the doctor New Year's Eve, and she asked on her way out, she was like, oh, do you know what my function is at? Because she said, I felt pretty good. And he said, it's almost at 100%. And it was just like, God exceeds everything you ask for. He's just so cool. So.
I'm thankful, and it was maybe an encouragement for anybody else. This week, one of the supervisors at my work. He's fairly new. And the Lord gave me a dream this week to speak to him just about something he was going through with just people not respecting him and stuff at work. And I went out, just, it was odd and uncomfortable or whatever. But I went and spoke to him, and he said that was some of the stuff he was going through. So it was encouragement to me that the Lord trusted me to share this with him, and just an encouragement that the Lord still speaks, and if you're listening, he's there.
That's
so
good.
All right, so interesting that she was talking about a job. I've been sitting here thinking I might want to come up and share this. So I've been working at a job at Buffalo Wild Wings for a while now. Absolutely hate it. I have talked to Abby and Nicole and various other people about this job. If you've not seen me here, it's because I'm constantly working, even though I've asked, hey, can I not work on Sundays? You know, kind of like that kind of life of having God in my life. So it came down to Friday night. I came home, talked to my husband, 2 o'clock in the morning, called him, said, I quit. I have never felt more it's going to be just fine ever in my life. As an adult, you freak out. Oh my gosh, how am I going to pay this? How am I going to do that? Nope. I asked God before I left there, hey, I feel that it's this time. If this needs to happen, just let me be okay with it. My goodness, not one single fear have I had yet that something great is not going to come out of this. So praise God. You know, thank you for helping me and guiding me in the right direction, but He is amazing, so I just want to share that.
Okay, Lord was like convicting me, like give me glory. So I work at the pregnancy center now, and somebody called in on, what day was it, Thursday. And like earlier in the year, back before I ever worked there, somebody had come in and they were thinking about having an abortion. Well, they prayed with one of the counselors there, and she called to thank us because she said, you know, that day that I came in, I wanted to have an abortion. But, you know, when I came in here and prayed and the gospel was shared with her, she's like, I left and I felt like I needed to keep my baby. And so she kept her baby. And so she called up to thank us. He's now 4 months old. And she said, that is the greatest thing that had ever happened to me. So praise Jesus.
Well, this ain't a testimony. I'm just making an announcement. We're going to need some help tomorrow. Christopher Duncan is going to be running another section of the heating duct. Thank you. Above here. So we need 6 people. It can be men or women, boys, girls, limber. You're going to be up in these rafters up here. So some of the bigger men, I don't even want your names. So if you're limber... Yeah, you don't have to come. You're out of this one. Unless you want to be over on a scaffolding, if you're not afraid of heights, we're going to have a scaffolding set up in this area, in the new area. We're running the new duct work. We got to move the old section over here, the new set. So it's going to be just up in the rafters, and the stuff is going to be extremely light. It's just styrofoam kind of stuff. But I need 6 in the morning to be here at 9 a.m., and then it's going to be about 3 hours. Very little labor. It's just going to be staying around, fellowshipping, handing stuff through the rafters. Then I need 2 people here in the afternoon working with Christopher Duncan, and that's going to be about 4 or 5 hours worth, and that's going to be making stuff. I don't know, whatever Christopher does with the heating duct. And it's above my pay grade. And then after that, it's going to be probably around 6 o'clock in the evening. We need another 6 guys, 6 people. Doesn't have to be guys. But I need volunteers, but I need another 6 people here to get back in the rafters and to move it again, whatever he's doing. So, just if you guys want to see me today, whoever wants to volunteer, but I need the 6 in the morning to be here at 9 o'clock and then 6 in the evening to move it again, and then 2 people that would like to work with him for the afternoon. So, thank you very much.
All right, very good. All right, so at this point, adults can greet one another. Kids can be dismissed for Sunday school.
Good job.
stands one who is my Savior. I take him at his word and day. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. That he would leave his place on high and come for sinful men to die. Strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, He was, my God, He is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. Living, dying, let me breathe. My strength, my solace from the spring. Daddy, who lives to be my king, once died to be my Savior. Daddy will leave his place on high. Sinful man today, you count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me.
But in your eyes there's only